Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I welcome each and every one of you to this, our Sunday worship. And there are some glimmers of light. America, it seems, might begin to take action on climate change, and that is very exciting. And there is news of a vaccine. Let us open our worship together by singing our first hymn of praise. Glimmers of light. And it is the first calling of the church to praise God in good times and in bad. It is our work and it is our joy. And yet I would be lying if I pretended that praise at the moment comes entirely from a place of pure joy, perhaps rather a longing and a yearning for the joy of God. The first few weeks of remembering, with the mist and the shorter days, the news of bereavements, a fearfulness of people we love becoming unwell, has caused many to feel a level of hopelessness or a helpless despondency. There is sorrow in the air. Somebody said to me after the short act of remembrance last week, it feels different this year. Sadder. And there was, I felt, an intensity about the 2-minute silence, as if the sorrows we remembered were resonating with something current, and a questioning, where have we gone wrong? How do we find our way forward? Difficult times are not new, as many of you have reminded me of late. 3,000 years ago, a psalmist spoke to God in his prayer, with words that really we might use ourselves today.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away, They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh. The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80, if we are strong. Even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands.
From 3,000 years ago, those words are like someone praying beside us, don't you think? Shall we make our confession before God for the sins and shortcomings of the world, its pride, its selfishness, its greed, distortions and hatreds? Shall we confess our share in what is wrong and our failure to seek and establish that peace and well-being which God wills for his world? Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are forgiven, and as we lift our heads, knowing the joy of that mercy and wondering how to step forward, there is one to whom we can turn. Let us sing our next hymn. It is to Jesus that we turn together, to his love and his wisdom. Let us hear his words now.
Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
These words from the Sermon on the Mount are some of the most well-known teachings of Jesus. We love them for their beauty, and because we know them so well, they ignite within us memories of the past also, perhaps an easier, less confusing time. But they are not just words we heard in our childhoods. They are not just words spoken on a mountain 2,000 years ago. Just as a psalmist spoke with us earlier, so Jesus speaks to us today. The Beatitudes can be pondered in every season, and as the psalmist offers us a prayer, so Jesus offers us wisdom and a way forward for now. I'm going to hand over to Geoffrey Marshall. I have put the script for what he says into the sheet of hymns and readings, and I suggest that we use his meditation as a time of prayer.
The Beatitudes, edited for a coronavirus lockdown. Blessed are the poor in spirit, depressed by the sheer effort of dealing with every piece of bad news. All those who live on the margins, worrying how they will feed their children tomorrow. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, all who are mourning normality, the shielded and those self-isolated and alone with their fears, all suffering from the cancellation of holidays and events looked forward to. For they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, the ones who bring a listening ear and helping hand to those in need, volunteers having vaccines tested on them, all feeling vulnerable or fragile, students in bubbles and all obediently suspending their freedoms by staying indoors to slow the spread of the virus, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the right way to live with new and changing restrictions, learning what a lockdown has to teach us. Those who dare to ask hard questions of our leaders and systems and hope for a new community cohesion to replace social distancing, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, all NHS and care home key workers, supermarket shelf stackers and checkout staff, takeaway cooks and bicycle mechanics, teachers and farmers and delivery drivers, undertakers and clergy online, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, the ones who bring joy amid sorrow, who bring kindness to a world preoccupied with self-interest, children who laugh and all who entertain us, musicians and actors unable to perform, the pets which keep us company, all who cling to scraps of hope, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, or who campaign and pray for peace with justice, those promoting the sustainability of creation, all who know that Black Lives Matter, all working for other people's mental health and well-being, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, the sick and those on hospital waiting lists, the furloughed and the unemployed, refugees and asylum seekers, the imprisoned and those shut in with their abusers, all who have died or will die from the virus, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
I'm glad that I gave you the script of Jeffrey's words, because I hope you will return to them. And maybe as you ponder the truth of the Beatitudes and how it speaks to your own life, you might like to add your thoughts. Before we say the Lord's Prayer together, I wanted to use a prayer that we have been given by the National Church to pray for our nation. Loving God, your Son Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Pour out your blessing upon our nation and all the nations of the world. Where there is illness, bring your healing touch. Where there is fear, strengthen us with the knowledge of your presence. Where there is uncertainty, build us up in faith. Where there is dishonesty, lead us into truth. Where there is discord, may we know the harmony of your love. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And now in his words we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Do you know, next week is the last week of the Christian year, the church's year. Next week we will celebrate Christ the King, and we will be thinking of his rule in our lives and also looking forward to that day when every knee shall bow to him. I want to encourage you to stand firm in your faith. Stand firm with the psalmist who prays with us across the years. Stand firm with your fellow Christians and all who seek and speak of what is good. Take the faith of the church. Take the promptings and comfort of the Spirit, the power and the love of our Heavenly Father, and the company, the wisdom, the light of Christ. Take all these and bind them to yourselves. In these dark days, you can stand firm, for all these things are yours. Before we go, I would like to remind you of the Bible study. We will this week be meeting on Monday evening at 7 o'clock, because on Wednesday, the church wardens will be having their visitation. The Bible study is open to everyone, and even if you can't come each time, it's there for you to drop into. It's fun. I would also like to recommend to you a book called Haphazard by Starlight. It's a book of poems for each day of Advent by someone called Janet Morley, or at least she has gathered the poems for us. I thought it would be nice to have a poem each day for Advent and to know that we were reading them together. If you would like me to order you a book, then let me know. And I hope that we'll get a good deal on a large order. But otherwise, perhaps order your own. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side and guide you in peace and righteousness. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and those for whom you pray. Amen. Let us sing together our final hymn, I bind unto myself today.